So many apps, so little time.
And so little space on my phone. Poor little 8 gigger.
Well, I don't know that you're going to necessarily care to make room on your phone for this because it seems a little odd. Everyone loves a fun throwback. I'll get that. Okay, cool. Whatever.
Great.
But this is a little odd to me. If you miss shooting film on an old school camera, there's now an app for you. It's called Gudak. It's for iPhones.
Does it make you wait like a week to get it back?
It does!
That's awesome.
It shoots virtual rolls of film, and you'll get 24 exposures on each roll. When you finish a roll, you have to wait an hour before you can load another and begin shooting again. And just like owning a film camera, in order to see your images, you'll have to hit the develop button and wait 3 days to see your
picture. Honestly, I think this is a great way of teaching today's modern kids about the way things used to be. It's like,
funny.
We never knew
that your eyes were closed.
If you have a selfie-obsessed teenager, make them have this and say, whatever picture you take, that's the one you have to go with. Because that's how we had to do it back in the day. You didn't know if grandma cut off everybody's heads in the photo at Christmas. You didn't know.
You didn't know. You didn't know.
It was part of the fun.
Yeah. It's fun, but I just don't get it. The interesting thing, though, is that it does have like 11 screen filters, which is not old school at all because screen filters are a new thing. But it's interesting. Yeah.
There's always an app for that.
Have you ever watched like Antiques Roadshow?
Yes.
I
love that show. PBS is the bomb.
People find out that they have old stuff worth tons of money.
Yeah, it's like somebody's tintype and it's like, wow, that's worth $30,000.
Right.
I've always wondered when you have something and you realize it's worth tens of thousands of dollars, do you sell it or do you just say, this is so cool, I have something that's worth all this money?
I know. I've always wondered that too. And, you know, I mean, what if it's worth like $3 million, but it belonged to, you know, great aunt Fred or something like that. Fredina, you know?
Fredina would want us to be a millionaire.
Right? That's what I'm like. Okay, grandkids, great-great-grandkids, someday when you're listening to this podcast and you're like, wow, great-great-grandma Hillary had this and it's not worth... Just sell it, honey. Just sell it. I'm telling you to sell it. Okay, Robert Warren from Iowa.
All right.
Was looking through... His family was kind of into art, okay?
Sure.
So he was looking through some stuff that was kind of shoved into a corner, and he found a painting. It's a dingy oil-on-wood panel of mythological figures. It had suffered water damage, and it was cracked in places. He said, I didn't think anything of the value. I wasn't sure why it wouldn't have been in a closet, because it was just kind of like shoved behind a table.
Sure.
He kind of started to look into it, you know, a little bit here and there. He found a sticker on the back that he thought was an auction sticker.
Oh.
The mystery has been solved. The sticker was not an auction sticker. The sticker was from the New York Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Oh.
And it was a tag indicating that the painting had once hung there. He soon learned that it had been loaned to the Met by a man named Nassoon Collins, who took the painting with him in the early 1900s when he and his family resettled in Des Moines.
Okay.
His granddaughter donated it and 4 other paintings to the Des Moines Women's Club, which established the gallery that he was now working in. So who was this artist? Well, guess what? This artist is a Renaissance painter, Federico Borricci? I don't know. I'm not an art person.
One of those
guys.
Don't
judge me. He consulted art conservative, scholars, okay? Smart art people.
Smart art people.
This thing is entitled Apollo and Venus, and it's believed to have been created between 1595 and 1600.
All right.
And is worth, are you ready? We should play high-low. Between $4 million and $11 million.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Even the low end of that, you're just like.
Yeah. So needless to say, it's been restored. They're increasing security.
Snow day activity.
And it'll be on display.
Search your attics.
Yeah. I love going to the zoo.
Yes.
Zoos are amazing. And if you go to the Detroit Zoo, they'll give you a special gift.
Really? Like a complimentary pass for your next visit or something?
No. The first 1,000 people at the zoo's 6th annual Green Fest will receive a token that you can redeem for a free 5-gallon bucket of poop. Yeah.
Whose bright idea was that? The janitorial staff?
It's only from the herbivores, so apparently it doesn't smell as bad.
Reuse, recycle. And can you imagine all the kids with their big yellow buses on field trips picking up their souvenir? Hey, Mom, look what we got today.
Yeah, it's from the zoo's anaerobic digester, and it's produced in partnership with Detroit Dirt. Apparently that's the name of the business. The Greenfest is on Saturday,
April
14th.
You're not doing yourself any favors, Detroit.
You've got time to plan your visit to Detroit for this.
How big of a container is this?
5-gallon bucket.
A 5-gallon pail of excrement.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, so here's the thing. This is actually kind of awesome. If you're a gardener, there are gardeners. I guarantee you listening to this right now, they're like, oh.
Every master gardener we have is like, no, that would be great.
That would be great. And I
every
hope
mother
that
is like,
people get,
no, don't get any right. ideas.
There's this event sounds really interesting because it's you can learn about the zoo's cricket breeding program.
Okay.
It's rain gardens, it's solar energy system. I want to learn about the cricket breeding program.
And
I didn't
give
know
you some
that we needed
to take home.
I didn't know we needed to breed crickets. I thought they were doing okay on their own, rubbing
Science.
Their little legs together to attract each other.
Nature.
Driving me crazy at 3 a.m. That's not quite a cricket sound. I don't know. I don't have a cricket sound.
It sounded more like someone struggling to learn the violin.
Yeah. But go learn about cricket breeding and get a bucket. Let's call it compost, shall we?
If you're going on vacation to Detroit this summer for some odd reason.
I'm sure there's lots of things to do in Detroit.
Great things. I think Little Caesars might be based there.
There you go. Pizza.
Don't bring home the bucket.
I found this very interesting. It turns out there is a right and a wrong time to do all kinds of things. So here we go. The best time to make a decision, around 10 a.m. Who knew?
Huh.
Because the brain area responsible for concentration and focus is most active 2 to 4 hours after you wake up, which is about 10 a.m. for most people. So,
usually middle of the morning is when I'm making some really poor snack decisions.
Yeah, but you get up way earlier.
True.
Like, do the math. And
I can blame
bump
that.
Bump it out
that
3:45
a.m. alarm.
Yeah,
on my
bump
phones.
It out
okay.
2 to 4 hours. So for you, if you get up at 3:45, you're talking 5:45 to 7:45 is yours.
Okay.
Okay. It's also a good time to schedule a meeting, return calls, or go on a job interview. Again, not going to work for you because you get up really early. Best time to crunch some numbers, about 3 p.m. because the body temperature begins to rise in the afternoon, speeding blood flow
to the
brain.
All the kids are like, but my math class is at 8.
Speeds blood flow to the brain and increases mental sharpness. So there's that. If that doesn't work for you, you can do these things between 8 and 9 p.m. That's a time when we're alert and our brains are better suited for working with numbers. Best time to go for a walk? You like running.
Yeah.
5 p.m.
Okay, actually, it was closer to 6 when I went running yesterday my yak tracks in the snow.
There you go. Your body temperature is at its highest then, which will boost your energy so you can go further and faster, and it also will increase the number of calories you burn. Finally, the best time to go to bed. Now, mind you, this is going to be different a little bit for everyone based on their work schedules. Turn in at 11 p.m. because production of the sleep hormone melatonin is at its peak, making it ideal time to go to sleep. If you go to bed at 11 p.m. And you won't get the recommended 8 hours of sleep, then turn in earlier. A lack of sleep raises your risk for heart disease, depression, and even weight gain. So it's not worth sacrificing your health for the sake of a good night's sleep because of the perfect time thing. So you still have to go to bed earlier if you're getting up at 3:45 in the morning.
Yeah, I wonder what that's like.
Yeah. Well, we're parents. I'm getting there, but parents of young children, they don't get 8 hours. There's no way.
Someday.
Yeah. But yeah, so best times to do everything. There you go, friends.
Hey, this is Caleb from Mornings with Caleb and Hillary. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch us weekday mornings from 7 to 9 Central Time on 103.7 FM, 94.3, 93.5, 93.7, and anytime on WWIB.com or via the TuneIn app.